Chapter 8. Mom placed the eggs in the refrigerator and shook her head.
Burke may be right. We should just put that sheepskin and gun in my cedar chest and forget we ever found it. I don't know what the answer is, but it is incredible to me that my mother ever had anything to do with this Caldfell fellow. Why, that's just ridiculous. I can't bring myself to believe it, in spite of the proof.
I rinsed our coffee cups and put them in the dishwasher. Life would be a lot simpler if it had no riddles, Mom. We didn't exactly ask for this, but don't you really want to know what it's all about? She scooped Jethro from the chair in front of the fireplace and sat down.
Oh, I guess I do, mostly just to ease my own mind about it. I wouldn't want any sort of a shadow to be over my parents. They were such good, honest people.
She ran her hand over Jethro's smooth head.
You know, you think you know someone, and then life throws a curve, and I wonder whether I ever knew my mother at all. It's like she's two women, the one I loved and that other one that I know nothing about.
But, Mom, think of it this way. If this brief marriage to Markham Caldfell really did happen, there was a reason for it. I think we both knew the real Grace Daniels. That episode with Caldfell didn't last. The real Grace is the woman we knew and loved, not that young girl who, for a short time, was Mrs. Markham Caldfell. My mother looked at me with a quizzical expression. Then she smiled.
You know, you're right, dear daughter. I couldn't have said it better myself.
How odd that all the mysteries we had been involved in since my return to Levi almost a year ago had seemingly dropped into our laps. I hadn't wanted anything but peace and healing after my husband Jake's death. That's why I had come back to my hometown. Peace was coming, but it was mixed in with a good deal of danger.
I'm going to sit here for a while and watch the fire, Mom said, propping her feet on the footrest. Maybe I can get my mind on other things. There's still the school out on Ben's old farm that is near to being ready for a bunch of boys. I'm tired of old problems. I want to think about helping start a new life for some youngsters who need a helping hand. Why don't you go on up and take a nice long soak? Think about something else, besides what might have happened almost 100 years ago.
The School for Troubled Boys was an ongoing project, and it provided Mom with something positive to think about. Her old friend, Ben Ventress, had not only left her his farm, but also enough money to make that dream a reality. She was slowly turning it into a home and a school for those who needed a nurturing home environment and a firm hand. Mom would not have wanted to benefit from Ben's generosity, but she was quite willing that others should. A hot bath sounded like a good plan of action to me. My feet had been freezing all day in the basement of the Siloam Springs newspaper morgue, although at the time my search into the past had kept me from paying a lot of attention to my cold toes. 15 minutes later, I was relaxing in a tub full of lavender-scented bubbles while I replayed in my mind the information about the stranger named Markham Caldfell. Judging from what I had gleaned, not many people in Levi knew of him. The knowledge that he had certainly been a man of less than sterling character disturbed me. Although I found few details, 3 fights that resulted in Caldfell's being charged with assault indicated that he was surely a violent man. Then there was the extremely short stint in the U.S. Army that was in itself highly unusual, at a time when America was desperate for strong young men to turn back an enemy that was proving to be far more vicious than our government expected. Instead of raising corn and milking cows, as most young men of his generation did after leaving the army, Markham Caldfell evidently roamed the streets of Siloam, causing trouble. Caldfell wanted to fight, but not enemy soldiers. The things I learned from the newspaper articles kept me from relaxing. I got out of the tub, dried off, and slipped into my pajamas. A computer search might bring to light other facts about the mysterious Caldfell. The possibility that he might have been married to my grandmother, even for an extremely short period of time, was hard to imagine.
All reports indicated that she was a woman of strong moral beliefs and sterling behavior and expected everybody else to be the same. Of more importance was the fact that she and Grandpa George had been engaged to be married. Their plans from the first were to wait until he came home from the war and have that anticipated wedding. What had changed her mind? According to the records, she had married Markham Caldwell, he went missing, and the next month she had married George Daniels. What about the attitude of the Jenkins sisters? From their reaction, I would say they had heard something about Markham Caldwell, and their reluctance to even discuss it added weight to the idea that something was wrong. Burke Hopkins, too. Three of the oldest residents of Levi had strongly suggested we forget whatever it was Cub found at Granny's old home place. I sat down at my computer, prepared to uncover as much about Caldwell, this shadowy figure from the past, as the infinity of modern technology and the magic of the internet would allow. 30 minutes of searching through old files resulted in a stiff back and a dull headache. I rose from my desk and stared thoughtfully out my bedroom window at the winter scene below me. Snow completely covered the ground, and the woods near our house looked like a Christmas card, a quieting picture in the midst of turbulent thoughts. My electronic search of history had not produced the answers we had hoped for. Instead, like Mom's visit with the Jenkins sisters, it had pointed out more discrepancies. Military records revealed that Markham Caldwell had enlisted in the winter of 1918 from Siloam Springs, Arkansas, and went to St. Louis for basic training. Less than 6 months later, on August 7th of the same year, he left the military under a dishonorable discharge. I could find no information about the details of that discharge. 3 years was the usual tour of duty, not a few months. My first thought was of the worldwide flu epidemic. Even if he got sick and could no longer perform his duties, there would not have been a dishonorable discharge on record. Considering what I knew about Caldwell's criminal record, I was forced to conclude that he had committed some crime or otherwise engaged in some violence, as he had done in Siloam, and the military had kicked him out. I could find no record of a court-martial. As I stood gazing out of my bedroom window, my mind wandered back to the world that my grandparents, Grace and George Daniels, and this mystery person, Markham Caldwell, must have known in 1918. Woodrow Wilson was president, and we were engaged in a great war that was supposed to end all wars. A worldwide flu epidemic ravaged populations where medicines were limited and doctors were few. Had my grandparents experienced that devastating illness? What of Markham Caldwell? The newspaper article said he disappeared. The newspaper reported that his wife, Granny Grace, said he had gone hunting. Had he been ill when he left the house, become disoriented, died, and was never discovered? The trees, even now, many years later, grew thickly at Granny Grace's old home place. It would be easy to lose one's way or stumble into a deep ravine and be covered over with leaves. In those days, the land must have been thickly forested. Perhaps mountain lions or other dangerous animals had roamed those woods. I had experienced a small encounter with a mountain lion a short time ago. Had Caldwell gotten lost and fallen victim to a hungry wild animal? Why hadn't I asked Granny Grace about that long ago time? I was only 10 when she died and certainly knew nothing of this mysterious period in her life, but hadn't I studied world history? She could have given me first-hand knowledge of life in Levi during World War I. Even though she had been gone several decades, I missed our times together, the shared confidences and secrets that neither of us had ever shared with anyone else. I smiled, remembering a mealtime at her house when I had accidentally broken one of her platters, a favorite dish that once belonged to her own mother. More than once, Mom had said she wanted that platter when Granny was finished with it. It was a work of art with tiny roses intertwined with gold leaves painted around the edge. I was horrified,
thinking of how precious it was to my grandmother and how Mom would have treasured it. I remember crying, and Granny putting her arm around me, drawing me close. "It was just an old dish," she said. "We must learn not to value things, Darcy. They don't matter. It's people who are important." "I am thinking of people," I said. "I'm thinking of Mom and what she's going to say." Granny had wiped my eyes with her apron and smiled at me. "I don't think Flora will ever ask about it. And that broken platter, well, it's just between you and me." It seemed that most of my heart-to-heart chats with Granny Grace happened in her kitchen. She taught me how to bake cornbread and biscuits, how to make flaky pie crust, and while we baked, we talked. I could have asked her so many questions, but I didn't, and now it was too late. Granny had always been honest and open. It was no family secret, for example, that Grace and George had adopted my mother when they were well into their 40s. Mom had grown up with this knowledge and seemed happy and content with it. My mother had been the pampered only child of parents who were old enough to be her grandparents. Nobody had ever mentioned my grandmother's first husband or his disappearance. Maybe a good night's sleep would help. It had been a long day, and the same questions kept circling my thoughts like a restless wind. As I turned away from the window, a movement at the corner of the woods behind our house caught my eye. I froze and stared through the falling snow. A person moved within the woods surrounding our pasture. I blinked, and he was gone. Rubbing my eyes, I searched those woods again. Had I just imagined that human shape? Surely not. Someone had stood watching. Someone interested enough to be out on a very cold night. Someone who did not want his presence known.